studio right now.
Talk Radio.
Well, we're going to have our executive producer.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence.
Naima Latif is our executive producer of Female Solution. And in just seconds, I'm going to play her global welcome for my whole global family. This is a global platform. I am just eternally grateful to be able to share with you over 35 years, it's almost 40 years, because that would be 68 in a couple of days. I'm celebrating my mother on my birthday. That's what I, my birthday, I'll be talking about my mom on Sunday on the Soul Purpose Healing Show. So welcome, welcome everybody. Is eating meat causing cancer? That's the question we're asking. You're going to be maybe a little surprised at the answer and maybe not. But think about Proverbs 15, verse 17. I'm going to explore that proverb to give you part of the answer to the question, eating meat causes cancer, question mark? But more importantly, we're going to go over the fly rules to prevent. That's the most important. I'm all about prevention at my age. So we'll be talking about fly rules. First, love yourself. Those are the rules that will prevent the cancer that people are afraid of. So let's welcome our global family right now.
Whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, ni hao. In India, namaste. In Japan, konnichiwa. In Korea, annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, yogi family, Satnam, and namaste. I just spent 8 glorious days in Costa Rica, and there's a big community of tourists there, of course, where I was. It's a big peninsula. But on the part, the section of the Pacific Ocean, I was on the West Coast. Lots of tourists come there from all over the world. So I'm glad I've been practicing my greetings, my global greetings, because if you go to Costa Rica, you're going to find an international family. Of course, most of them are speaking English, but then Costa Rica is a Spanish-speaking community, society, and I had the most wonderful time in the yoga community. For 3 days, I visited Bodhi Yoga, which is in a tree. If you want to really experience an amazing yoga place, go to the Bodhi Yoga community in Costa Rica, Nasara, where the yoga studios, several of them are up situ. Someone built them in a tree. I mean, talk about creativity. But I know why you're here first thing in the morning, early in the morning, you want to do some joint rolling. So we're going to do some joint rolling before we talk about whether eating meat causes cancer. The answer may surprise you. So call your meat-eating friends. We want to bring some peace to this issue right away after the joint rolling, of course. And I want you to think about or meditate on Proverbs 15, verse 17. That's the biblical truth that I want to bring to you this morning as part of the answer. It's only part of the answer, but it's a big part of the answer to whether meat eating causes cancer. And while we're joint rolling, if you're not rolling those joints, maybe look up Proverbs 15, 17, or once we're done with our joint rolling and our stretching and our moving of our sacred temple, then we want to go deep into Proverbs 15, 17. And I have several guests from YouTube University who are going to expound and elaborate on the answer to whether eating meat causes cancer. I want you to be in peace. More than anything, I want my audience to be in peace about any health issues, challenges that you may be having. So let us do some joint rolling. That's why you came. Why are we rolling joints this morning? Because we love ourselves. That's one of the fly rules that we're going to go over. First, love yourself. F-L-Y, first, love yourself. Those are the rules, some of the rules that will prevent disease like cancer, diabetes, all of those. It's all part of the fly mentality. So let us do our Time for Healing music. That's what we love, by the Sounds of Blackness. I don't own the rights to the music, but they actually gave me permission in an email to play their song, and I've been playing it for a couple of years now because it just so feels right when we're rolling these joints around. So let us get on the floor, or even if you're in a wheelchair, you're going to roll everything on top, like your head and your shoulders and your elbows and your wrists and your waist. Just roll whatever's available. But I'm going to start out with this neck that Harry holds, this big, heavy head. And then we'll move to our shoulders. Afterwards, we'll get on our back and kick up the legs and arms and roll the ankles and the wrists, the knees and the toes. Not the toes. But we're going to roll the knees and the hips. And both sides, we'll roll over on the side, roll each side, and then we'll come up and do some vagus nerve activation, because we're going to be sitting for a while, at least I will most of the time. And we want to make sure our vagus nerve is pumping the energy to our gut, mainly our microbiome community, and all over the body. The vagus nerve is an amazing pathway, like a tree trunk, that nourishes from the brain, sends messages from the brain all the way to the toes. Yes, that's what it does. That's why we want to stimulate that nerve this morning before we sit and absorb the truth about whether eating meat causes cancer. Because when I heard someone say that, I went, let me explore that a little bit, and you may be surprised at the answer. But let's listen to the Sounds of Blackness for, this is about 6 minutes, while we roll around our joints and love ourselves more. So here we go.
No. a foolish pride. But pain is a sickness that is hard to cover, and it's the reason we mistreat each other, yeah.
Hallelujah. Give yourself a hand if you did the roll in the joints this morning. And let's just rub those hands together one more time. One more time. Warm up those hands. Warm up those hands. And place them on the back of the neck and squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Activating your vagus nerve. Now, if you're doing this correctly, you're going to feel that energy all the way to your toes. Breathe in and release. Breathe in and release. Squeeze, breathe in and release. Ooh, doesn't that feel great? Getting rid of all that tension. Squeeze in, squeeze in. Loving your vagus nerve, which starts at the base of your brain stem and travels all the way down your spine. And your vagus nerve connects to your microbiome down here. That's the most important organ in your body, actually. This is a big, big, big family, trillions and trillions of living organisms that are communicating to your body from this computer center up here. So let's just give your shoulders a little massage all the way down to pat down those arms, shoulder to arms. Pat the chest, your thymus gland here needs a little tapping. You're still, I saw it was snowing in Chicago today. You need to build up that thymus gland, your immune system, every day, all winter, build it up until you can get more sun, more sun. And breathe, take in a deep breath. Let it go. Deep breath, let it go. And give thanks. Gratitude is gratitude. Gratitude is so important in everything we do. Give gratitude. And that energy flows just like your vagus nerve energy. Gratitude, gratitude flows. So thank you for joining me this morning. We're going to go deep into the question of whether meat causes cancer. I heard statement on from a guest this week on the Female Solution say that, oh, you know, meat causes cancer. Eating meat, this is what he said, eating meat causes cancer. I went, what did he say? What did he say? Because after 35 years or more in the holistic health field, I didn't believe that statement at all. And I've been a vegetarian on and off for about 30 years now. And that didn't even gel with me. And I've studied cancer for over, since 2004. I really digged into it because my sister had breast cancer and she lived with me the last 9 months of her life. So I learned a whole lot trying to help her get well. And what I learned was kind of surprising because it didn't fit into my mold of if you just eat right and juice and some fast, you'll get over the cancer. Never happened. Because guess what? Energy and motion plays the biggest role in the development of disease. Energy in motion. We call it emotions. And so when someone says, well, you know, eating meat causes cancer, and you, I think what we need to do is look into the energy, not necessarily of meat, but our digestive system. The energy of how well your digestive system is processing not only the food you put in your mouth, but how well your body processes the energy of resentment, hate, anger, bitterness, all those things are what we're going to talk about. I mean, you can decide for yourself whether you think meat causes cancer. So the first thing I want to do is go into my studio of music and play Human Body 101, because that's part of the answer to, does meat cause cancer? Well, I want us to think about once more this amazing biological computer that our soul lives in. And I'm going to switch from this yoga spot in my tiny house village. For those of you who are new to the show, this is my living space, 320 square feet of living space that I converted over a year ago. That was an empty shed. This was an empty shed when I first came. It's in my son's backyard. So it was an empty shed that I converted into my living space. So this is where I do all my shows, and I sleep here, live here, and I love my peaceful living, 320 square. So you'll get a quick tour as I move from my yoga area, my living room space, into my studio where I have all these great pictures of my dad. So here's a quick tour of my living space, and then we're going to move into the studio. For all my YouTube family, especially my tiny house village, Yada's tiny house village starts here right now. But for my first adventure in a tiny house, I lived in 160 square feet for 5 years. Out with the cows. That's the best place to have a tiny house experience is out in nature, in a semi-rural area. That's where you get the lowest rent cost and more space. And I lived in 160 square feet for 5 years with cows and horses on both sides of the property that I was in. Amazing experience. So here I am. I doubled my space. The universe gave me this space. The funny thing about it is during COVID, this quick story before we go into Human Body 101, to introduce us to the truth of whether eating meat causes cancer. But before I renovated this space, my son bought this house in over there next door. And this was an empty shed with all kinds of wood and junk in it and tools. And it was used for landscapers equipment. And during COVID, my son and my ex-husband didn't have anything to do. So they took the roof off and put it on a new roof while during COVID, the whole time, 2020, I think. They both sit. I have a picture in my intro to my YouTube channel, which I might play at the end of the show. And they're both sitting up there. I mean, you're talking about a 70-year-old man sitting up here with his son changing the roof. I'm thinking, why are they doing that for a shed? That's really weird. And then lo and behold, I was living in an ashram, and they sold the ashram, so I had to move in 2022. Let's get my years right. 2021, I had to move out of 2021. I had to move out of the ashram. Where am I going to go? I had no idea. So the thought came to me, sell your tiny house, 160-square-foot tiny house. Sell that. Take the money and put it into this shed, renovate this shed in your son's backyard. I mean, after all, you got a brand new roof on the place, so why not? So that's exactly what happened, long story short. Sold my tiny house, took the money, and renovated this space. And here I am. I get to see my grandchildren every 2 days. They're divorced. So the grandchildren are here with him every 2 days and every other weekend. And I get to see them all the time when they're here. Blessing, feeling really, really blessed to be in my tiny house village right here in the backyard of my son's house where I can bless my grandchildren. They can teach me how to be patient with a 6 and 8 year old. So let's listen to, as we begin to break down does eating meat cause cancer? As I said, Proverbs 15, verse 17 is our first introduction into the answer to this question. I hope all of you, if you have a Bible, check that verse out. I'm going to bring it to you after this audio. This audio is Human Body 101, I call it, because you cannot really answer the question, does meat cause cancer, unless you fully understand the workings of this master biological computer called the human body. So this audio I'm going to play for you, about 5 minutes, just reminds us of the complexity, the sophistication, and the awesomeness of the 10 systems of this computer that we live in that, meat causing cancer, don't think so. Let's just listen.
The human body is a complex network of cells, tissues, and organs that together make life possible. 10 major systems are responsible for the body's functions: skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, nervous, endocrine, lymphatic, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive. The skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, and nervous systems in particular create an infrastructure that facilitates the other systems. The adult skeletal system is a framework of over 200 bones. They hold the body together, give it shape, and protect its organs and tissues. The skeleton also provides anchor points for the muscular system, which includes three types of muscles: skeletal, smooth, and cardiac. They are found throughout the body and facilitate movement. Nestled within these muscles is the cardiovascular system, a pipeline that includes the heart, blood vessels, and the blood itself. Also called the circulatory system, the cardiovascular system delivers oxygen, white blood cells, hormones, and nutrients throughout the body. Lastly, the nervous system is a communication network of nerve cells that the body uses to transmit information and coordinate bodily functions. It's comprised of the brain, the hub of sensory and intellectual activity, the spinal cord, and the many cranial and spinal nerves that emanate from them. This infrastructure, created by neurons, blood, muscles, and bones, allows three other systems to regulate the body's environment, the endocrine, lymphatic, and urinary systems. The endocrine system is a series of glands that use information carried by the nervous system to help regulate the body's processes. Thanks to this neural connection, endocrine glands, such as the thyroid, are aware of the amount of hormones and other chemicals they need to produce. These chemicals are then distributed throughout the body by way of the cardiovascular system. The cardiovascular and nervous systems are also utilized by the lymphatic system, a collection of lymph nodes and vessels that help regulate the body's defenses. Also called the immune system, the lymphatic system uses neural pathways to transmit information about affected areas of the body and then sends out healing agents like white blood cells via the bloodstream. Another key regulatory system is the urinary system, which includes the kidneys, ureters, bladder, and urethra. The urinary or renal system maintains the body's electrolyte levels and filters waste from the blood. This waste is sent through the blood vessels into the kidneys and then expelled as urine. All of these systems require energy to function, and that's where the respiratory and digestive systems come in. The respiratory system is a group of passageways and organs that extracts life-giving oxygen from the air we breathe. Air enters the body through nasal cavities, travels down the throat, and is then transported to the lungs. The lungs extract oxygen for the body to use and then expel a carbon dioxide byproduct when we exhale. Energy can also come in the form of food. The digestive system is an approximately 30-foot series of organs that convert food into fuel. Food enters the system through the mouth, then moves into the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestines. Nutrients are absorbed into the body while solid waste is expelled through the anal canal, the end of the digestive tract. No matter the role, size, or shape of any of the body's systems, each began with the reproductive system. This system is responsible for creating life. The primary organs involved differ between the sexes, with ovaries, fallopian tubes, the uterus, and vagina found in women, and testes and a sperm channel found in men. Together, fertilization may occur, organ systems form, and then a child is born. Humans are complicated organisms, but when our 10 major organ systems are healthy, they ensure our well-being.
No, I love that audio because it compacts all the major systems in this biological computer, the hard drive part, the soft drive, whatever. It's a computer. It's the most sophisticated computer on the planet, in my opinion. And that takes us through all the systems and the interconnections and the harmony and the unity that takes place inside of us in this, what we could call a kingdom, maybe. Kingdom, the Messiah said the kingdom is within. Focus on the kingdom, not the external. So when we ask the question, does meat cause cancer? Let's think about, we're going to focus on the digestive system today, not all those others. I'm not going to bring in all the other systems as much, but when we're looking at meat, what we put in our mouth, as she said, food is meant for fuel, right? So if we're eating meat for fuel, I was thinking about all the meat I ate as a child. My mother, and I'm going to honor her on Sunday because Sunday is the day I entered the Earth atmosphere, March 12, 1955. I'll be 68 years around the sun. And I want to honor my mother because that's what I believe most we should all be doing on our Earth Day is thinking about those 9 months in the womb that your mother consciously nurtured you and you come out. It's time to honor her on your Earth Day. Anyway, I was thinking about all the meat that I ate as a child. We ate pork chops. We ate ham. We ate steaks. We ate hot dogs, hamburgers, I don't think there's any lamb. I don't think there's any liver. We ate all kind of animal products as children. I bet most of the you in the studio are watching. When you grew up, you probably had a lot of animals. How many of you developed cancer? Let me hear from those who have cancer from all that meat you ate, okay? So there's something else going on with cancer that has very little to do with meat is what I'm proposing today. So I'm going to go to the break, but Proverbs 15:17, I want you to think about this. I gave that at the beginning of the show as one of the answers to whether eating meat causes cancer. Proverbs 15:17, I always thought about this scripture as I began sharing my experience and knowledge on Blog Talk and other places, writing a book. I wrote a book, Your Body Speaks Your Mind. Proverbs 15:17 says this, it's better is a dinner of herbs or vegetables where love is than a fatted calf where hatred is. Whoa. When I read that, I was like, whoa. That's the energy and motion that we need to talk about contributing to cancer more than that poor little calf or pig. You know what I mean? The flesh of the pig, the calf, the pig, whatever, and bird. Let's not leave out that chicken, that bird chicken, and yum, yum fried chicken. So reading that again, think about this as we go to the break. What does this mean in our lives as we choose what we're going to try and digest? Some of that stuff ain't digesting. Them pigs and calves and hot dogs and all, they're not digesting. Why? Because as it said, it's better that you have a dinner of vegetables with love than a fatted calf where hatred is. Think about your prime rib, your filet mignon, all that hamburger, all that red meat, and you're sitting there and you're angry. Your hamburger because your wife didn't show up for dinner, your girlfriend, your brother, somebody caused resentment in you. Where do you think that burger is going to go in that long tube of digestive activity, energy, that trying to get to the anal part? Where is it going? Well, is it going to make it to the end of the butt? If you're sitting there in anger and hatred and bitterness and resentment and even sadness, think about that. The burger in the mouth and you're angry and you're hating. Proverbs 15 says, it's better that you eat some vegetables with that kind of energy. Because if you're eating a fatted calf where hatred is, this proverb seems to hint that that burger is not going to go anywhere. It's going to sit in your colon and make a mess and putrefy. So I'm just suggesting that's the beginning of this quote, the answer to whether meat causes cancer or not. And we're going to fly later and give you just the rules to prevent all of that worry about disease and all that. But let's go to the break. And when we come back, I have several people. I found this great, absolutely great guy who talks about the spiritual causes of digestive problems. You're going to love this. It's going to just blow your mind because many of us don't think about this when we're eating. And we're focusing on digestion. To answer the question, does eating meat cause cancer? You got to first look at the system of digestion, not all the adrenal, the endocrine and the reproductive has very little to do with eating meat and cancer. That's another cancer or another subject. When we come back, we're going to go into our digestive system and what's really going on there and how meat, animal flesh, how it operates in the body when your emotions are not in love mode. Okay, that's the question we got to ask ourselves. What happens to that dead flesh when you put it in your mouth and you just swallow it down? You don't include the enzymes in the mouth and then you're angry at somebody. We're going to talk about what is actually happening. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining me this morning. Our topic today actually came from a comment one of the guests on the Female Solution made this week that said, you know, if you're eating meat that causes cancer, and it was like ding, 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 a red flag went up in my brain. Like, what did he just say? What did he just say? And I thought, well, that's not really true. So let me deal with that on Friday, Health and Wellbeing with Viata. So that's what we're going to talk about. I want you to be anxiety-free when you eat your animal flesh. That is really the key to preventing any disease, is anxiety-free meals. So that's why I'm presenting to you lots of speakers this morning on the subject, as well as my own personal knowledge. And before I take this call, I have a caller that raised 706-202. I'll be right with you. But I want your opinion on this medical doctor show. I want to play this so that you'll have an opinion or a comment. You can make a comment if you like on how doctors look at this topic. And this is an audio from a medical show, the doctor's show. The doctor's show was talking about, is red meat a healthy protein? And when I saw this, I got to share that because...
For anyone who's tortured by gum disease or tooth decay, this solution is so simple.
Because this is what you hear typically from the media and other shows. You hear this opinion from medical doctors and other people talking about whether people are getting enough protein. That's usually what it's all about. It's, well, we eat meat because you can't get protein from anywhere else. But here I want to just play this brief. It's like 4 or 5 minutes. And then I'd love to hear your comments on this, how you look at this, because we're going to go deeper with this. This is just a general perspective from a doctor's show that you hear all the time.
Back with Dr. David Katz, Dr. Joel Kahn, and Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. So let's bridge the gap here a little bit, because I do think that there is a truth out there. And I think we would all agree overly processed foods to begin with, bad, right? Would we all agree that overly processed foods?
Yes, yes.
Now, just so you know, and I think this is important, I eat meat. I enjoy red meat. I come from a family of farmers in Nebraska who, you know, that was what I grew up with. I'm more passionate about this because of where I grew up in the Midwest and now living in the South and the rates of obesity. If you look at the headlines, I think that we need to be teaching people, we need to focus on more plant-based. And yes, talk to your doctor, make sure you're getting enough protein, particularly if you have sarcopenia and muscle waste.
That can start in your 30s. So it's all about optimal body composition. So if we begin to further reduce red meat, and I personally, and in my clinic, I haven't seen it to negatively impact people. I've only seen it to be a positive.
And yet I look at you, Dr. Kahn, you haven't had meat in 42 years. You look healthy. Dr. Lyon, you eat meat and you advocate it and you look healthy.
I had a baby 2 months ago. Congrats. So, you know, it worked.
And yeah, and that's my point is there is a happy medium here. And so for the general population, and Dr. Katz, I want to go back to you because we could talk about this for hours upon hours. But where I really respect you, Dr. Katz, is you've spent your career trying to dive into the actual science. You started the True Health Initiative. I'm a big fan of it. It's about getting out to the masses what we know to be true. And the truth is usually somewhere in the middle because most people realistically aren't going to give up meat. Or do they necessarily have to?
I think even
Joel would agree there that a truly vegan diet, especially for as long as you've done it, not everybody can do that. So
let's be clear, an important point. There were never dietary guidelines that said eat all the snack wells you want and all will be well. All sensible dietary guidelines in our country have been co-opted by big food and turned into nonsense. And you can do that with meat, where advice to eat lean, healthy, whole meat turns into have all the pepperoni pizza you want. And advice about eating more plants turns into as long as it's low fat, it doesn't matter if it's snack bowls. All of that's nonsense. That's pop culture nonsense. Those aren't dietary guidelines. So the reality is the world's best diets from a vast array of evidence, and this is what the True Health Initiative experts from all around the world rally around. There's a theme there, and the basic theme, Michael Pollan said it nicely, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. You know, in Joel's case and largely in mine, it's all plants. It doesn't have to be. You can be pescatarian, flexitarian, Mediterranean. There are all sorts of variants on the theme, even paleo. All of these things come together and argue for less meat.
I agree. Everyone should eat more plants. I totally agree with that. But what happens when you tell the average American to eat, you know, more plants, it's going to be potatoes. It's not spinach and broccoli and leafy greens. So now we further reduce a healthy food source and we end up replacing it with excess, you know, processed carbohydrates and fat.
Unfortunately, we do have to end the conversation. But the beauty of all this is we are doctors talking about the importance of nutrition. We've always said this, food is medicine. You have to figure out what works for you. But maybe the other lesson in this conversation is be very careful when you read a headline. And also talk to people who are knowledgeable. Please have a conversation with your doctor. If you're dealing with specific issues to you, talk to your doctor about what may be the optimum diet for you. But unequivocally, and this is where I will close this out, I agree with you, Dr. Katz, your comment, Michael Pollan said it, right? Say it one last time.
Eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
And I think that's pretty good advice for the majority
of us. If you're not doing that, you should try it and listen to your body, and you may be surprised how much better you feel. And do it in concert with your physician. I respect all three of you. Thank you so much for being here today.
There you go, the doctor's opinion. You know, you got these professionals talking about this subject today. They didn't mention cancer, but that's what we want to talk about today, whether the elderly man who this week on a guest on the Female Solution said, well, you know, meat causes cancer. So I would just say when you're promoting a vegetarian diet, that's what usually what people will come up with. Well, you shouldn't eat meat because it causes disease. But is that true is what we're asking today. And I have behind me this huge chart is German New Medicine, all about what really causes cancer. I studied this, started in 2005 when my sister had breast cancer. I started studying this. So I am now a practitioner of German New Medicine. And it teaches about the conflicts, the emotional traumas that trigger your body to produce more cells that are called cancer. And it has very little to do with meat. It has more to do with Proverbs 15:17. Let me read it again. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is a very high frequency. Remember, love, peace, joy, high frequencies. Rather than eating a fat calf where there's hatred, where there's low frequency. So if you're going to get that animal flesh from your mouth to your anus with no problems, you better have a lot of love energy going. Is that how I would summarize Proverbs 15:17? But let me go to the mics. I'd love to hear your opinion. If you're a meat eater, it doesn't matter. Let's just talk about energy in motion. That's what is the kind of the focus today is, cancer actually develops when your energy in motion is at a low frequency of hate, grief, sadness, unforgiveness. You're going to have a hard time getting that calf through your body when you're carrying those low frequency emotions. So 706-202, your mic is open. I believe that's our brother Kwame Sunhorse on the stolen land in Georgia.
Grand Rising, Sister Viata. And I sit here in stolen lands in Eaton, Georgia, the Muscogee Creek. You know, the Creek Nation and the nation of people before we came here and invaded or were brought here, you know, when we look back over, there was not a thing called cancer in the perspective, in the way that people had order in their lives with nature and the way in which they harvested their food. They ate meat, but they ate wild game, and they were able to, you know, honor that relative that was given its life so it could have the protein and the life that was in it to be put into themselves. And what we've seen as we've become more and more, quote unquote, civilized in our way in which we create this FDA, you know, Food and Drug Administration. So how is it that, you know, elders back in the day knew how to prepare food? This is where we came up with the word soul food, is because when that grandmother was in that kitchen and singing over those pots and putting love into the energy of love into that preparation of food, we did not see as much inner destruction to us as we see now with the fast food and the way in which things are prepared and the artificialness of the food, because there's a great amount of now artificial food. And then the hustle and bustle to provide yourself nutrients, which really you only eat to fill up, not to live. And there's a difference. Eating to fill up or eating to live, and that's key. And even when we sit down to have a meal, how many people still acknowledge that food is getting ready to go into your body and thank that plant relative, that four-legged one that swims in the ocean, thanking it for allowing you to consume it in order for you to have the nutrients to live a good life. It's the other parts that we deal with when we're talking about stress, because I've known many vegans die because stress kills more so than cancer kills. And be living a stressful life and having all the right nutrients and all the things in it, but if you have so much stress and hustle and bustle in your heart and your mind, that is dangerous. You begin to eat in yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brother Kwame, for that. Because we lose track of the history of the bison, for instance. First of all, they didn't have a TV with a remote. So there was so much physical activity among our ancestors that their bodies could digest just about anything they put in their mouths. So the tradition of using that whole buffalo, the bison, for not only to make tents, to eat for food, for clothing, is so beautiful. That history is so beautiful and such a wonderful example of how we have lost track of values that our ancestors carried and used in their lives to sustain them, to support them, and to help them survive, that we need to be reminded of. So thank you so much for those reminders. I have this cute little history cartoon that I want to play that goes back to why we even ate meat and then how we have kind of lost track with the eating and why we eat what we eat. And this is just so cute. It's an animated, but you'll hear the audio of just a little history of what happened over the last 100 years or so. So let's listen to this.
It tastes great. It was pureness. When our vegetarian ancestors started eating meat around 2 million years ago, it wasn't just because animals taste great. It was pure necessity. Climate change made many of the plants our ancestors relied on less available, and meat bridged that gap. From the discovery of fire at the latest, meat became a staple of the human diet. But over the last few years, eating meat has increasingly been associated with health risks like heart disease, certain cancers, and an early death. So how unhealthy is meat really? In this video, we'll only talk about meat. Dairy products deserve a video of their own. Biologically, we need to eat for three reasons. For energy, to acquire materials to fabricate our cells, and to get special molecules that our bodies can't make themselves. The energy and most of the materials come from the three macronutrients, fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. Proteins are the most important resource for repairing and replenishing our cell structures. The special molecules are a large variety of vitamins and minerals we need to drive metabolic processes. Meat provides us with most of these things. It contains all essential amino acids our body needs and a lot of minerals like iron, zinc, and essential vitamins, some of which are barely found in plants, like vitamin B12. Only one essential nutrient is missing in most of the meat we consume, vitamin C. It appears in almost all plants and supports our immune system as well as the development of connective tissues. After a few months without it, you'd get scurvy. But meat has another big advantage, its high bioavailability. Some of the nutrients in meat are broken down faster and available quicker than those from plants. Spinach, for example, contains more iron than meat, but it's absorbed much slower and the body needs more energy to digest it. Several health benefits have also been observed in communities that rely solely on meat. The Inuit, for example, are able to survive in extreme climate conditions on a purely meat-based diet if necessary. Since they consume the whole animal, including the organs, they get every single nutrient they need, including vitamin C. So meat itself is definitely not dangerous for us. But its health effects vary, depending on how it's prepared, and what animal it comes from. When talking about meat in the Western world, we generally mean muscle tissues that have a high nutrient density, but also lack some of the vitamins that make it possible to survive on meat alone. The most healthy animals to eat are probably fish. Fish contains polyunsaturated fatty acids like omega-3, which may lower the risk of cardiovascular diseases and support anti-inflammatory immune functions. As part of a balanced diet, fish can be eaten regularly without worries. Eating fish comes with its own bag of complications, though, like overfishing and the destruction of the oceans. We'll talk about that in another video. A close second is the most popular meat, chicken. It's regarded as the meat with the fewest health risks. The only negative health effect of poultry is a bit controversial: fat. Its high content of saturated fat is associated with a higher cholesterol level and cardiovascular disease. But this idea has also been criticized by a large number of scientists, arguing high cholesterol levels might be inherited and not caused by nutrition. So, in general, if you want meat and are concerned about your health, go for chicken. Things start to get problematic with high intakes of red meats like beef, veal, pork, lamb, horse, and goat. A recently published study recommends, for example, a maximum of 23 grams of red meat per day, which is a very small steak per week. However, large-scale meta-analysis studies have shown that eating 100 grams of red meat every day increases the relative risk of diabetes by 19%, of strokes by 11%, and of colorectal cancer by 17%.
So there, let's stop that there. That's enough propaganda. I call it propaganda because all of that is not necessarily true, but that's the research that people do and confuse us. They confuse people about what to put in their mouth. So let me put it into perspective. My experience over the last 35 plus years, I met Elitam Elamim, who's a breatharian. He calls himself a solartarian now. He's in Botswana, Africa right now. I love traveling with him throughout his India, Africa, and he eats no meat, absolutely, and he eats no food, pretty much. Some people say, oh, I bet he's sneaking a donut or something in there, or blah, 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 blah. Who, maybe, but he's not eating a lot of anything because he has people he's training and traveling with that are watching him, and he's teaching them how to be a breatharian or a solartarian. So we look at a spectrum of eating. Let's say eating external elements, whether it's food or other things. And Elitam Elamim is over on the left side as an alien walking around on the planet eating nothing, not drinking water. And I spent 3 days with him and observed that. He didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days that I saw him. And he was in Orlando 2 years ago. So there's this spectrum of eating that we can consider when in terms of what is causing disease like cancer in our body. So on the one end is Elitam Elamim. How does he get his nourishment? Well, where does he get the protein? You got to eat meat to get your protein. Isn't that what they always say? If you don't eat meat, you're going to have scurvy or some other disease, blah, blah. This man is so healthy. And muscles, lean muscle, he's all lean muscle. You can see every muscle and vein in his body. He's walking around hot Botswana, Africa, India, everywhere. So he's on one end of the spectrum of nourishment. On the other end, you got people eating meat 3 days, three times a day, and any other items of processed food, hamburgers, french fries, soda, coffee. They're consuming everything the corporations are offering to put in your mouth that may be safe and that they somehow in their brain think is nourishing them. But what it's doing is causing toxins to build up. And then you've got some people in the middle of the spectrum who might be eating, an intermittent fasting. They might be doing no eating till noon or 1. They're drinking juices. They're drinking water.
And then after 12, they're eating all these healthy vegetarian meals and enjoying maybe a little fish. So they're in moderation. The middle of the spectrum is what I would say is moderation. On the right, it's extreme consumption of everything and anything that's causing obesity. And in the middle, you've got the moderation that those doctors were talking about. They sleep more plant. And then closer to Elitam Elamim, you've got people who are mostly fasting their life, and they eat maybe one meal a day. The rest of the time, they're in the sun getting nourishment from nature. So I just break that up to say what we need to think about, whether meat causes cancer, is what is your lifestyle? What lifestyle? Are you on this spectrum of eat everything and anything, especially all this processed garbage that's out there? Are you in the middle with moderation, enjoying life? And then especially, are you having your meals with people who like to laugh and enjoy each other and show love at the meal? That's the question that comes down to whether eating meat causes cancer. It's a lifestyle that causes cancer more than meat itself. And so that's my suggestion. When we come back from this break, next break, I want to share with you a really important audio I found, the spiritual causes of digestive problems. This man really breaks it down. It highlights why people have digestive issues and, in my opinion, why they they might develop a disease. It has nothing to do with what you're eating so much other than what you're eating emotionally. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. Take advantage of the deal of the day. Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Devorah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Morning. Eat meat causes cancer? Question mark. Does it? Well, we're getting to the meat of it, the depth of it, by listening to experts and also considering Proverbs 15:17. I always like to give scripture respect and do wisdom notification because the Proverbs are all about wisdom and the Psalms. So it says it's better if you're sitting down to eat that you eat vegetables. If you're in hatred mode, or in another interpretation, a fatted calf is not going to get digested if you got a lot of anxiety, hatred, fear, blah, 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 low frequency emotions going into that eating process. Because when you think about what your body, the energy your body has to put out just to digest your meats, your animal flesh, or your vegetables, you're going to be interfering with that digestion if you're in hate mode. That's what the bottom line is. It doesn't matter what you're putting in your mouth. It's what the energy that's in going to interfere with that digestion. So here's a very important teaching from a man. Let's see. I forget his name. Let me pull up the video. The spiritual cause of digestive problems. Deep, deep wisdom and understanding that we all need. Let me just play the audio for you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tony Mills from Energetic Wisdom. And today I'd like to just talk about digestion as a whole, the feelings around digestion. Now, we think of stomach, we think of bowel and things like that. There's areas that we're actually forgetting, and that's way before we've been eaten. Okay, and that is the mind. To actually think about food can make your stomach gurgle. You know, just thinking about any worry about food will begin to upset your whole system. The salivary glands can go when you're really hungry, thinking of certain things. The salivary glands, a lot to do with is breaking things down into little pieces, and it's to do with blocked energy in the brain, preventing this from happening. So we're forgetting very much about the mind and how just a thought can get everything gurgling, okay, or make you feel sick to the stomach. Just the thought for the start, that's which creates a feeling. And we tend to forget that's before we've actually eaten anything. So when we get to chewing something, that can also affect us because we can bite off more than we can chew, literally taking on too much. And the salivary glands again affect the digestion. So we haven't got down there to the stomach yet, okay? The stomach is there to break things down, but if there's any kind of bad feelings, like worry, is very much to do with the stomach. And there's also a connection with the meridians, the stomach and spleen. Spleen is obsessive worry, okay? So that worry will churn things up. I don't know if you saw the Fantastic Voyage, was it, where this person had a problem and they kind of reduced the size of these people and the little spaceship and went through the whole circulatory system and the digestive system in which they were in this little spacecraft. They got to the stomach and they got stuck there. Okay, so the person operating on the host of this little spaceship got him to worry about something, and it churned up. And they've got the spaceship moving out of the stomach. So this is how the thought and feeling can affect us so directly, okay? There's very, very often a lot of anger around the stomach and a lot of worry. And that, you've heard the saying, I just couldn't stomach it, okay? It makes you feel sick to the stomach, you know? These are all feelings that literally affect the digestion. Now, we think of stomach and bowel. We also forget to aid the digestion. We have the liver and the gallbladder. Now, the liver is an amazing processing factory. Everything goes through the liver. So all the emotions go through there, right? And so very often there's any problems on the liver, the feelings are pretty heavy. You know, people who are depressed or suicidal, there'll be a big liver problem there because they can't fight against pain or adversity, but they feel very angry, and they feel angry towards themselves, and that can affect the liver so much. They may put other people first, but there can be rage and anger there, and that affects the digestion, of course. And the gallbladder stores the bile from the liver, and so it stores the anger. It becomes rage, bitterness. But this is very often happens in people who are lovely people, and so it's stored and it's kept in, and it affects. Then you have gallstones, which are kind of solid little bits of bitterness, which is not the person. Because you're a lovely person, you keep that in. It's nice to see people coming up here. Hi, everyone. So you can see how contradictory it is to a person who's very nice. And so this then feeds into go in with the digestion. And coming from the other side is the pancreas. And the pancreas is to do with sweetness in life, because it has two purposes, but we're talking about the digestive purpose here. So there's been some, I don't know, there's a lack of joy in a person with diabetes. In a childhood, there's been some lack of joy, and that is then fed into the digestive system. Now, What assimilates then is the small intestine. If you can't assimilate things, if you can't absorb things in life, then it's going to affect your digestion. And it can affect in different ways the small intestine. It can be sorrow and sadness, a lack of joy. And that definitely affects you. And also there'll be, you'll be worried if you worry about, say you've got a meeting, okay, and you're really worried about this, giving a talk, so you just rush off to the loo and you have the runs. This is the small intestine, okay, because you can't assimilate, it's just too much. So you're thinking this is the food, this is very more important, these emotions are important. Of course the food is important, but this emotion can override everything. That's the problem. Whatever, you can have the perfect food, all these feelings go through you, pow, they're gone, okay? And it's also, because it's in a place of assimilation, it's blocking your learning experiences. That's the problem with the small intestine. Now then, the small intestine then feeds into the large intestine. Now, what we've got, one very important area here that people don't realize how much they are affected by it, and that's the ileocecal valve. This is a little valve. It's where they're near the appendix, but there's a little valve between the small and large intestine. Okay. Now then, if it allows the content, small intestine, out into the large intestine, closes up behind it because it doesn't want it all backing up again. Okay. Now what happens if it sticks closed? Contents can't get out, poisons the system. What if it sticks open? Contents backs up, poisons the system. Now, the point is with this is why this little valve is so important, because when your system's poisoned, it can affect all kinds of conditions. It can give you headaches, joint pain, nausea, tiredness, even slip disc syndrome, joint pain, all kinds of things like that, because your system is being poisoned. Okay. Now, the point is, there's a program that's causing this to open and close, like an eye or a camera. The program is comes very often from down the mother's side, and it can be very often connected with the liver too. But what happens is you're literally poisoning yourself, okay? Emotionally poisoning oneself. And also, it's very difficult to let go of the past. So that connects up with the large intestine, we're letting go, okay? And it can be a deep hidden bitterness. Again, this is not a deep hidden bitter person, okay? It's a deep hidden bitterness very often because you're the opposite. You're a lovely person, but God, you're not going to share that one, or you're not going to upset someone else with that, although they upset you and cause the deep hidden bitterness. Okay, right? So by releasing this and addressing this, then things begin to change. And then the valve, I've had it, or I can just work on certain commands, and that valve starts operating again. Just by the word, by the feeling. Because it's so delicate, it just feelings can do that, okay? So once that's operating, then the contents goes to the large intestine, and of course the large intestine, what's that relating to? Letting go. Letting go. And holding on to the past. And the stronger the feeling, the more you're going to get hold on. And the more you'll hide it, it's very much a hiding area here. And it's like, well, saying this is a lot of bullshit, so you're full of shit. Well, really, this is how it works. It just, and this, all these feelings and words are just not appropriate, but you hang on to them. We keep on looking back at the past, what went wrong, instead of releasing it and begin to feel better about ourselves. So you can see how the feelings affect the whole system, right? And very often there's all kinds of things like worry, lack of joy, holding on, bitterness, which outwardly you may not see it in a person, because they're not, a lot of these things, you don't want to walk down the street saying it, but it's so important and it can affect your whole system. And by addressing this, things begin to change. And you begin to appear in your true self, because this is what's being held back. Instead of living other people's programs that we've inherited very often from our parents, perhaps some other authority figure, and it can even come down the ancestral line. These feelings are so strong, it affects the whole system. And food is to be enjoyed. We also forget that. We eat food, well, because we should be eating this, and this is good for you and that is bad for you, but we've got to have joy in the food. And it's not joy in us, what's going through here. So just to give you, just a few points there and different aspects of that. You know, I go in much deeper. If you look up energetic-wisdom.co.uk and look at my website, you'll see what I do. And I believe that things can change for everyone, and that's what we need. Going back to the large intestine, there may be a reluctance to change and can be stuck in the past. That the worst thing is to be stuck, because nothing's moving, there's no opportunity to change. Change is very important. And so we're talking now through the digestive system. It covers all aspects of our life. So thanks.
Wow, I didn't listen to the whole thing when I first saw it, but wow, he goes into such comprehensive depth of the system. I hope you heard that. Systems that are affecting disease in our body. And meat is very minor in the contribution to disease. I hope you're getting that. The answer to the question, is eating meat cause cancer? My answer is absolutely not. It's not a cause. It doesn't really even contribute to cancer because cancer takes a while to set up. And there's you need to watch, I was going to say, watch The Queens of Africa on Netflix if you can, to understand the complexity of the slave trade and all the emotions that we have, especially African Americans, put around reparations and victim-mindedness, then maybe we can let go of the diseases of that have really affected the African American community, like diabetes and cancer, because we have held on to these quote inequities or these horrors or these violence or these abuses started back in Africa with the Queens of Africa. Watch that video, that documentary, and I think it might free a lot of people from thinking you're a victim. No, we're all part of this amazing historical story that we can tell about our ancestors and our current situation. But the program, as this man had just described, that's running is emotional poison. Emotional poison and not being able to let go of the past. That's what's causing the cancer in most people, in my opinion. And this chart behind me, the German New Medicine, documents all these diseases behind me, detail the conflict active energy that starts these different types of cancers, that we are not letting go. We can't let go of the pain from our childhood. If we had a painful childhood, many people don't let go of that. They stuff it, and they become older adults with cancer, diabetes, because they keep getting triggered. How many of you keep getting triggered of the pain that you experienced as a child, the resentment, the rejection, violence, the abuse? All of those things, if you haven't let go of them, released them, let go, and healed from them, then that's what's contributing to your cancer or your disease, not the meat. The meat, leave the meat alone. It's harmless. I'm not one to eat a lot of meat, but when I was in Costa Rica, I had fish every day practically because my friend paid for someone to prepare her meals for her. And at first the idea was, well, I'm going to pay for my own meals, which I did. I went to the grocery store, bought some cabbage and all of the vegetables that I wanted to eat. But they had so much food, they were practically begging me to eat. So I had fish every day. I was having 3 bowel movements a day. I never had that. Never, ever, ever, hardly ever. And 3 bowel movements a day because I was getting so much. I got all these vegetables along with the fish, the fresh fish for the most part. I don't think they were importing that fish. That fish was being caught right there in the coastal waters. And I was having fresh fish. And I was in like relaxation mode all the whole 8 days. I was so relaxed. The skies were blue. I was in such peace to look up every morning and see blue skies. So my environment in Costa Rica was so healthy, so peaceful, so relaxing, so stress-free. And the food that I was eating, went right through. Got digested in a matter of a few hours, not days, but hours. And so that to me was the proof for you even that the meat's not what's causing the disease. It's your emotional state. It's your environment. You're living in a crowded urban area, stressed every day. You have to drive to work every day. You're stressed. Your wife is being mean to you. Your wife's not showing you love and appreciation and respect. And you're carrying your childhood abuses and pain with you every day. Then guess what? You're not going to digest that animal, that steak you had last night or that burger or even the fish, because the energy of digestion is interfered with when your emotions are at such a low frequency. Hate, anger, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, on and on. Fear. You know, the reason a lot of people are developing cancer lately from the jab, let's mention the jab, because the fear for 2 years, how many years did they keep the massive people in fear about a damn virus that's everywhere, the lies that were told? And then just as a sidebar, on YouTube, I was watching the Twitter trials. We got all these people in Washington interviewing the employees of Twitter on why they posted stuff, who posted it, why. They're going through this comedy show, in my opinion, of asking people questions about Twitter. I'm like, we have nothing better to do. Our government has nothing better to do than interview people about Twitter information that was concealed for 2 damn years. And now we have this drama about the January 6th footage videos that are coming out that they didn't show us, even though they had a January 6th committee doing all this investigation and let's put people in jail for their crimes. And then it comes out that they didn't show the whole picture. Surprise, surprise. That's why I take a deep breath. That's why our goal and intention for every conscious person, in my opinion, is to get rid of this government system that we've been under for the last hundreds of years. The lobbyist system, that the corporatocracy that we're under, that is creating the fear that causes the cancer. Let's leave the meat. I hope we have an answer. Does eating meat cause cancer? Hell no. No, it doesn't cause cancer. It's your emotions and your attitude that causes cancer. When you're sitting to eat at a meal, the proverb says you're better to have some vegetables with love than that meat, that animal, that cow, that pig, that lamb with hatred and bitterness and anger, because that meat is going to be stuck in your colon. And then when you have all that putrefaction going on in your colon, why? Because you were eating that meal, or your days were filled with fear and anger and bitterness. Cancer is like waiting at the bits to come in and start multiplying. And here's another thought. Your microbiome, all those living organisms in your gut, remember he said in that last audio about spiritual causes, your large intestine is where you have to let go of all the BS in your life as well as the food. So if you're holding on to your childhood abuses, slavery, let's just go back hundreds of years. Let's hold on to the mean slaveholders, all those plantation masters. Let's hold on to the anger about how you were treated on the plantation in 20 lives ago or 3 lives ago. Let's hold on to that anger and resentment, and let's work real hard. We deserve reparations. We need reparations because you treated us so bad. You treated us bad. In the meantime, what was killing black folks the last 2 years? Comorbidities. Comorbidities are multiple cancer, heart disease, diabetes. That's what killed people, not meat. Meat had nothing to do with it. But the comorbidities stem from holding on to anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness. Let's just leave the government, United States government, out of reparations, people. Let's go, if anything, go back to Africa where it really started. Or go back to the Jays who own the plantation. You know the Jays, I won't say the word. Most of the people who own the plantations who are filthy rich in this country, the Jay people, who Ye talked about. If you're going to go for reparations, try hitting them up with money because they owned the plantation. But why do you want to hold on to any of that when you go back to the Queens of Africa and you see the complex nature of why a queen would sell out her community to slave traders to save her community, to save her ancestry, to save her royal family? Why would she sell her people to slave traders? Why would she do that? very complex. Watch Queens of Africa. I watched that and thought, wow, this is so deep. It started back in Africa, not with the United States government. I just wish you would drop the reparations war, the reparations agenda, and focus on healing our communities with fly rules. And that's what we're going to talk about next. I have 7 fly rules that will help you prevent cancer. They're not have anything to do with meat, pigs, cows, horses, whatever you're eating, whatever you like, all the animals. Forget it. We're beyond the external consumptions that we put in our mouth. We're getting past that. That's not what's causing disease, the comorbidities that killed many minority communities, African Americans. It was comorbidities that had nothing to do with the meat. It had to do with the appetite. Now, if we're going to talk about what people ate or eating, let's talk about why you're eating all that meat. Comfort food. Let's talk about why you're eating all those cookies and pies and cakes and ice cream. Comfort food. We're still in our emotional state of grief and unforgiveness, sadness, depression. Because what the massa did on the plantation, what they did in Africa, and on and on. And so let's have some sweet potato pie and some apple pie, some banana pudding. I can think of all the sweets that I ate as a child that was so, I can still remember the taste of those foods and the cheeseburgers my mother made from scratch. My mother made cheeseburgers, made that patty, fried it up, put some cheese on there. Ooh, I can still taste it because she put a lot of love into our food. Thank you, Mama. And now I'm a conscious eater. I don't need hamburgers and cheeseburgers, but I might try a little filet mignon once in a while and make sure the people who are eating with me when I do the filet mignon, we're going to laugh, because that laughter is what's going to help that meat get right through to the anus, out the body. You don't want it sticking around in the large intestine. That's what will create the atmosphere for cancer to develop. But it's not the meat. It's your attitude. So let's just say to end this session about meat causing cancer, whatever animal you decide you want to put in your body, make sure you have a company of people who are laughing and enjoying the meal with you. Don't eat it alone, crying over your wife or your husband or somebody who let. Don't, please don't do that. Don't eat your hamburgers with sadness and grief and unforgiveness. Eat it with joy. Joy, joy, joy. We'll get that animal through the throat, the small intestines, the ileocecal valve. Remember, that's a sacred valve. He said ileocecal valve. That's where a lot of people have problems. That valve is not closing and keeping out the bad or the negative stuff so that it can move through the large intestines and out the anus. Enjoy your animals. Remember, why are you eating them? Is it because you want to have a joyful, laughing time with friends? That should be the reason that we sit before a cow or a lamb or any animal, because we want to laugh and enjoy the time with our friends and build social capital, relationships. Let's do our eating with joy and get gratitude, thanksgiving, gratitude, and lots of laughter. I guarantee you, if you have a sit down with a meal of animals and vegetables and wine, and there's lots and lots of laughter, your bowel movements are going to be plentiful. So let's go to our last break. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about the fly rules. Fly first, love yourself. These are the rules that will keep you cancer-free.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
You can call in 515-605-9325. We'd love to hear from you. And I am on my YouTube channel today, Viata's Tiny House Village. And I'm on both my Facebook pages, Soul Purpose Healing and my private Viata. I have actually four Facebook pages, one for my dad's book and Holistic Home and Body Care. So I am just not that great about all these things. So I'm just grateful I was able to put it all on four different platforms. So again, call in. But I want to go over the fly rules before I talk about a little bit about German New Medicine laws that address emotional conflicts. And the fly rules, I received that from Dr. Daryl Wolf. Dr. Daryl Wolf is someone I get messages from him every day, and I share them on my Facebook page because they're uplifting, positive. And he is a health teacher, an international health teacher. I found this Dr. Daryl Wolf on Facebook last year. He moved out of Canada because of the harsh rules around COVID. And he went to Mexico and established a clinic in Mexico. Now he's preparing to go all around the world to teach health messages. And so his fly rules are based on his philosophy of fly. First, love yourself. Everything he teaches about, every philosophy, every rule that he starts with when he's counseling people, teaching, is first love yourself. And that's the rule with EFT as well. EFT, when we do tapping, it's always starting with, even though I've got all these health issues, cancer, blah, blah, I deeply love and accept myself. That's where it starts. So people who develop cancer, it's not that they're eating too much meat necessarily. They don't love themselves, and they haven't forgiven themselves and other people usually. That's where cancer really is rooted in unforgiveness, not meat, but unforgiveness. So fly rule number one, I got seven here I want to give you before we leave. Number one is stop the inner trash talk. Many of us have grown up with parents who said you're not worthy, you're no good, you're stupid, you're blah, blah, blah. All the trash talk that we get from our parents as little children or childhood friends, you're ugly, you're pale, you're skinny. All that is inner trash talk. We got to stop that. The fly rule number one, stop the inner trash talk. Think about consciously, are you telling yourself you're a goddess or are you telling yourself you're stupid? Are you listening to that voice of your mother and your friends who told you how bad you were, or are you looking at yourself as really a beautiful representation of the Creator's wisdom and goodness and love? Number two is mirror time work. Stare at yourself in the mirror. This goes along with stopping the inner trash talk. Just go to the mirror, stare at yourself, and say, wow, you are beautiful. You are awesome. Instead of looking in the mirror and saying, ah, I need a new wig. Ah, I better do my nails. Ah, look at my nails. They're horrible. I better go buy, consume. Because what we, especially women, I don't know about men, but women look in the mirror and think they can improve on themselves by consuming goods like wigs, eyelashes, nails, clothes. No. Rule number two, stare in the mirror and say, I am beautiful the way the Creator made me. Wash your face, oil your face, and get going sharing love. Number three, go to place of power. Go to place of power. Now, that may mean different things for different people. What is your place of power? Is it out in nature? Is it in a yoga studio? Is it in your car listening to music? Wherever you feel powerful, go to that place often and meditate, spend time in that place. Number four or five, take a break from the phone and social media. Fly, first love yourself is taking a break from the phone and social media. I saw a picture on Instagram of a father holding his baby in one arm, and the baby's eyes were wide open, and he's got his phone in the other hand looking at the phone. Now, the picture to me represented the baby's eyes were focused right on the phone. The baby could see the phone moving, all the visual of the phone. I can imagine that baby's eyes were like wide open, looking at the phone. The father's eyes were not on the baby, but on the phone. And he's holding the baby in one arm and the phone in the other. And the baby is staring at the phone along with the father. This was like a six-month-old baby. And I made a comment about, oh, be sure the father spends more time looking at the baby. And I had a few people like, whoa, there's nothing wrong. You mean you can't hold your phone and hold your baby? Hell no. Not with a six-month-old staring at your phone. That's part of our problem in our society. We are so addicted to our phone, we don't even know when to take opportunity to stare in that baby's eyes and staring at your phone and looking, paying attention to social media. So that's rule number five, I believe. So number six, eat foods that nourish your soul and your mind. We just talked about eating meat does not cause cancer. So how do you eat foods that nourish your soul and mind? How about going out in the sun? There's your best nourishment of the day. Remember, the spectrum of nourishment is Elitam Elamim on one end, not eating, drinking water, eating food, but spending all his days in the sun walking around Africa right now, Botswana. He's in Botswana. And then the other extreme is someone eating three meals a day, obese, drinking everything under the sun, soda, coffee, three meals a day, bacon for breakfast, hamburger for lunch, blah, blah, all that consumption of animal flesh, food, is it nourishing your soul and your mind? So what is the food that nourishes your soul and mind? It's plant food mostly, but more than anything, it's the trees. Trees are food. The clouds are food. The sun is food. The rain is food. we don't even think about, but Elikam Elamim, the Breatharian, will teach you what is really nourishing the body. When you look at his life versus someone on the other spectrum that's eating everything processed in a bag, in a box, drive through, those are the extreme spectrum versus what is nourishing Elikam Elamim. People ask all the time, how can a Breatharian not eat food and drink water? Well, you're going to die. He's been walking around India, Africa. He was here for three. He's not eating or drinking much of anything. He's being nourished. What's nourishing his soul and mind is meditation, breathing, sun, skies, cloud, rain, trees, grass, all of the things in nature are what really is nourishing the soul and the mind, having peace. Number seven is spend time alone. These are the fly rules that will keep you from getting cancer. Not the meat has absolutely or very little to do with it. It's your environment, your attitude, your emotions. So number seven, spend time alone. I have some people in my life, I'm so lonely. I don't like to be alone. I am never, ever alone. I have music. Music is my number one love. I don't care about men. Men come second or third maybe. But music is number one for me, and that's why I'm never alone. Because when I'm in my tiny house village here, and I suddenly feel my emotions going to a lower vibration or energy, I put on music. I play Al Jarreau's The Greatest Hits all the time. And that just lifts me up. But George Benson lifts me up. And recently, Imagine Dragons, that group does something for me because they have all these drums. They play about seven different drums in their performances. So I love listening to groups that have this different variety of drums. In fact, we're going to an all-day music festival, my whole family, where Imagine Dragons is the key performers. And that's because my grandchildren like their music. What do you think about that? It's going to be a fun field adventure with family. That's what prevents cancer, is spending your time away from things that irritate you, stress you, and being in the company of people who like to laughter. So before we go, those are the seven. We're going to go over those seven rules one more time. First, love yourself rules to prevent cancer. Number one, stop the inner trash talk. Number two, look in the mirror, do some time work in the mirror, stare at yourself and say how beautiful you are. You don't need anything else. Just stare at yourself and admire the beauty of your construction and put a little oil on your face and your hair. Number three, no negative emotions. Keep the negative talk emotions at bay. Don't talk about how sad you are and how frustrated you are. And whatever you do, don't look at the world as hell. I have some people in my life who wake up thinking, oh, this world is hell. Exit, delete. No negative emotions, because why? That's what causes the meat to get stuck in your colon and then putrefies, and the putrefaction begins to grow cells because your emotions are at a low vibration. Number three, go to a place of power wherever you feel powerful. Go there often. Number five, take a break from the phone and social media. Please put the phone down. Get away from social media throughout the day. Number six, eat foods that nourish your soul and mind. That's mainly the sun and all of nature is the food, the nourishment that we all need more of to nourish our mind and our soul. And then number seven, spend more time alone. Now, here's a clip about German New Medicine, which is, I am a practitioner of German New Medicine, which teaches you the root cause of cancer is the conflicts you experience in your life, like the death of a child, losing of a job, divorce. These are the things that start cancer cells to grow. And Melissa, her name is Melissa. She's someone Melissa Sell teaches this in her business, and I'm following her on Facebook because she's one of the few that teaches German New Medicine. And here's a little bit of the laws, the five biological laws of dreams.
There is nothing random about whatever kind of disease or condition that you've developed. There's nothing random about, you know, what is called an autoimmune condition. The body does not do random things. Dr. Hammer, which is the German medical doctor who made this discovery of these five natural biological laws of nature, that revealed to me, I mean, just the depths of wisdom within the body.
Right.
There's always a reason. Nature has a reason. Mm-hmm. And we have looked at what the body is doing out of context for hundreds of years. And out of context, it looks like, oh, random cells are growing. Oh, the body's attacking itself. And so we try to intervene and we try to stop it. We try to, you know, give the body drugs and do all sorts of things to like make this thing stop happening. But with Dr. Hammer's discoveries, we see this is happening for a reason. And we have to get to the cause. We have to look at what was it that initiated this adaptive process in the psyche brain organ. And by resolving that conflict, that's how you get back to homeostasis, which is health, which is balance. And so the first biological law, psyche, brain, organ, you know, something happens, something catches you off guard. And the big distinction here is it's not just stress, because a lot of people are like, oh, stress and disease. Okay, I get it. It's not as simple as that. It is more profound and impactful. Like the conflict shock moment where you're caught off guard, you feel totally isolated in that moment. You feel totally alone, completely caught off guard, on the wrong foot. And that's what boom, kind of sets off this adaptation process. So how the psyche perceives it, and that's not just the mind. That's not like, you know, the thing that's thinking inside of your head. It's like the deep biological wisdom of your entire being. And so that wisdom makes an assessment of the situation that you're dealing with before you even have a chance to like have any cognition about it. Before you're like having thoughts about it, it's already in motion. Like the body has this language that it perceives before like words in your head appear. And so it's initiated there. There's an impact in the brain. And that's one of the really cool, amazing things about this work is that via CT brain scan, you can actually have your brain mapped out entirely and see, we can see all the stuff that's happened to you in your life. There are impacts in the brain that control different regions, different portions of the body. And so psyche, brain, and then organ. That's where the adaptation happens. And the adaptation basically can be fit under three categories. Either there's tissue loss. So for example, like if there's something stuck in your throat, the throat needs to widen, or it needs to produce more mucus or saliva in order for whatever's there to be able to get down or to come up. And so we're either going to be losing cells, widening openings, increasing cells so we can produce more juices, or there's loss of function. And so that's basically how the first biological law, how we can understand what's happening, the shock, the adaptation cascade, and then that persists, and then we can get into the second biological law if you want to pause for any questions.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's making me think, like, how does someone even discover all of this? You know, like it's so wild to me and interesting to really learn all those connections and understand those connections is just amazing. So I was thinking, like, in terms of conflict, have you ever worked with somebody where they don't know what the conflict is? Like they can't actually make that connection between their disease state and the conflict that happened or the trauma?
Sometimes it's tough because sometimes it happened a very, very long time ago. And then once you like start stacking conflicts, Dr. Hammer discovered something else incredible called constellations, which is when we have conflicts that are impacting opposite sides of the brain in the cerebral cortex. And this is what is the cause of what we call mental illness. So schizophrenia, depression, all sorts of, you know, psychiatric conditions, OCD, autism, it has to do with the brain and the sequence of the conflicts. And so sometimes it can get really messy because life is long and we have a lot of stuff that happens to us. But once we kind of at least have the categories, we know where to look. And one of the things that I rely on is the fact that your nervous system knows, the deeper wisdom within you knows, your intuition can access this information. And sometimes the information is buried so deeply because it shouldn't be touched. There are some conflicts that, like, it happens so early and it impacted your psyche in such a way where there's kind of like there's imbalance, but things have stacked up and now it's balanced. And so there are actually some things you don't want to disturb, that you just want to, you know, kind of let them be as it is, and you can learn to downgrade. And the cool thing about like constellations, for example, is it's what makes us quirky. It's what makes people so interesting and access, you know, certain types of creative states and, you know, writing flows. There's something called mythomanic. I mean, it's just the coolest stuff. And so, yes, yeah, sometimes it's hard to recollect, like, in your memory, because,
for sure.
You know, even, like, for example, like a separation conflict, part of the biological program is short-term memory loss. So you actually forget the thing that you wanted to separate from. So there's purpose even behind the things that you can't remember. But I always recommend, you know, sometimes people start getting stressed out about it. What if I can't remember? What if I can't? It's like that reaction. Right. Let's downgrade that. It's like whatever you need to see, you will be able to see, you know, and sometimes it helps to have, you know, another party, someone like asking you questions to bring certain things up. But trusting in the big picture that you can use this information to improve what it's like to be used, to improve your health, to downgrade symptoms. So the second biological law is the law of two phases. And this is amazing. This, there's so much, it's math, you know, like, and that's the cool thing about the universe and the biological law.
So that is an introduction to German New Medicine, which is the chart that I display behind me in every show because I'm a practitioner of it. I believe strongly in it. After 9 months with my sister, before I studied it, that totally demonstrated how these biological laws work to produce cancer. And for my sister, it was the sudden death of her only child, 14 years old, hit by a car in Chicago, died that evening, and breast cancer developed 2 years later. And she stayed with me in my house for the last 9 months of her life. All demonstrated the conflict active in the body that produces cancer cells when you don't resolve the conflict. So our lesson here, I hope today that what you have received and understand more than anything is that it's not what you put in your mouth that causes cancer, but it's what's in your mind and your emotions that will interfere with the digestion of what you put in your mouth. So go ahead and enjoy your filet mignon and your hamburger, whatever your appetite guides you to put in your mouth. We're all different. I'm done with judging and criticizing and trying to control people. I got lots of pain from trying that with my two sons and my husband. So I'm at a stage of stepping back, observing, and trying to promote laughter in the meat with the meat on the table, whether it's filet or hamburgers or chicken. My family loves their chicken, so I have to endure the chicken. And I like to promote humor in whatever I do now because that's what's going to help you digest those animals. We got one more caller. You got about 30 seconds. 3-2-6-7-1. Your mic's open. Thank you.
Way on your shalom. Yes, ma'am. Bless you, Sister Dr. V, and the Female Solution, too. This is Minister Plump in Chicago. Just want to pass on the one man, one vote campaign, one woman, one vote campaign. Everybody can vote in Chicago for Brandon Johnson, and that is a healing for us. And for more information, call Minister Plump at 312-671-2773. Thank you. God bless you.
And bless you, Minister Plump. Keep pumping that music in Chicago. No more than any city.
In the archive,
music and love.
www.blogtalkradio.com.
I just going on politically or
female-solution.
Keep the laughter going.
Today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page.
Keep it going. If you're going to stay.
www.facebook.com/femalesolution.
It's very, very important
about today's
show. All for joining me this day.
Reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
With laughter and love. That's my advice. And enjoy your family. Develop social. You're going
to
need it.
And be sure to get your copy.
Our government is still in clown mode, if you ask me.
On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
That we're locked up in with our government and their
global
policies.
Family, listening from all around
people,
the world,
we got to keep our bodies strong and healthy, keep the humor going, and we say thank you to all you global families with us, or an army.
Korea, 감사합니다. Russia, спасибо. Germany, danke. Poland, John Kujun. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal,
Geret.
Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Have a beautiful day. Keep the laughter and love and music flowing.